Hello and good afternoon again. We're going to get started on time. Thank you for your attention. I'm Dan Gibbons from the City Club of Chicago, and we are so pleased to be joined here by our board members. Well, one of our board members, Dr. Ed Mazur, our Chair Emeritus, is here. Thank you, Dr. Mazur, for being here and for always being supportive. Thank you, as always, to those sponsors who are supportive and also bring some of you wonderful folks together. Today we have Alderman Michael Rodriguez in the 22nd Ward as a sponsor, and LASE Chicago, New Life Centers of Chicagoland, of course, the Robert R. McCormick Foundation, which we'll get to in just a minute. Chicago Commons is here, and City Colleges of Chicago. Thank you. That sponsorship matters. Your membership matters. This club is doing so much to enhance the discussion and elevate civic dialogue here in Chicago and beyond. And so we very much appreciate it. And we also appreciate you all taking time out of your days. This is an incredible group of a diverse group of different sectors, different people. Always good to point out who is in the room. We have all, of course, Congressman Chuy Garcia, ladies and gentlemen. We'll start with the congressman, all right? And you're going to hear from him later. Alderman Michael Rodriguez is here. Thank you, Alderman. We know how busy you all are. The consul general from China is here, Ambassador Wang. Thank you, sir, for being back. It's always good to have you at City Club. I believe Juan Salgado is here from City Colleges, another City Club speaker, as is Raul Raimundo. Where are you? I saw you from a distance. There you go, holding up the back half. Beatrice Ponce de Leon from the city. Thank you. You are a treasure for all of us, and we appreciate all that you're doing. We've got some. We always appreciate emerging leaders. And I don't know, Jimmy, are you still emerging? We've got Jimmy Dowers here from Urban Initiatives. Blue Pacheco is here from Blue Azul Center. Christina Rice, Christina is here from Global Girls. These are organizations that are doing some amazing things in all of our neighborhoods, and we appreciate what you all do, and that you come here to City Club to further your own mission, which is really always helping move this city forward. So thank you for that. I mentioned New Life. You know, we're going to hear from our panelists in just a minute. I was in Littleville. Actually, it was after a program that we had here where we were learning about what was going on the ground, and it was times that were a little more tense than they are now. Thank God the tension has subsided just a little bit. But I was over there on 26th Street, and there was not much going on. Went into a few stores, and it was a great experience to see firsthand, but it was not very encouraging. And then I went down the block, just a block off of 26th Street to New Life, and there was a line around the block, and that was at a food pantry. And that wasn't right, and it just didn't it didn't sit well, and I'm glad that we are here to lift up what is going on and the good that's happening. There's so much of it, and you all are part of that. So thank you for all that you're doing and for your leadership in this. I want to say a special thanks to, we often do these are ideas that you all bring to us, and Katya brought this, and the McCormick Foundation was our partner in this. And they're not just our partner today. They've been our partner on a very regular basis. Andres is here, and I'm going to introduce Tim. Your whole team is amazing, and we've done a lot together, and I think there's a lot more to come. So I asked today if I could hand over the microphone to start us off to the head of that McCormick Foundation, Tim Knight. He's a great civic leader. He's a great partner to the City Club, and I'd like to ask him to come up here and give some welcome remarks. Please welcome back to City Club, Tim Knight.
Thank you. Well, Dan asked me to make sure I introduce Katya, and I said, Katya, I'm going to introduce you, and she said, make it really, really short. I think Mike Rodriguez and Katya talked about why this is a 20-year look back, and it's a 20-year look back because that's when Katya started in LASE 20 years ago. So there's if nothing happens, it's like AD and BC. So Katya has been with the McCormick Foundation going on 3 years. She's the director of our Little Village portfolio, which we created in 2022 to recognize the work we were doing in Little Village, but more importantly, the things that are going on in Little Village that we want to uplift and support. And she spent previously from 2005 till she joined us with Enlace, starting out in education and then finishing up as the executive director, which is when I met her when I joined the McCormick Foundation in 2020. She has been, I got to know her via Zoom, like we all did during COVID, and she is a terrific leader, not only in Little Village, but across the city. She has many great qualities that she brings to our organization every day, and she has worked tirelessly to support the Little Village community the way that all of you have as well. So I think I'm supposed to introduce Katya, who will then introduce the panel. But it's my pleasure for Katya Nukas to come up and be celebrated for her great work.
Thank you, Tim, for those very kind words. And I think now we're going to look at a small video from a little village and the 20 years of the implementation of the quality of life plans as I invite our panelists to come up and join me.
We always talk about our community role models. And a lot of us chose to, you know, look up to others, right? Because of what the violence was showing us. As soon as you walked out of your home, you saw the individuals driving the nice cars. It was something that looked very normal to us.
I grew up with three brothers. My dad always had the fear of my brothers being recruited into gangs. But it became real one evening. We were playing softball outside, and there was a drive-by shooting. And my brothers were there playing. Luckily, nothing happened. By that weekend, my dad had another apartment for us to move to in Cicero. That was his way of removing us from the violence.
And in the 80s and 90s, the number of violent incidences and homicides in our community just went up tremendously. At the age of 9, went to my first funeral. It was my uncle who died due to an overdose. And at the age of 11, my second uncle died due to gang violence. We had very, very strong women in our family. They're like, you guys are going to school. We've got challenges in our family, but we're gonna break that cycle and you guys are going to college and you're gonna do well for yourselves. And I remember my family members, we would always talk about, what's this issue with violence in our community? Wouldn't it be awesome if we had after-school programs and mentors at the same time experiencing schools that really weren't equipped for all the young people who now were first-generation Mexican-Americans trying to make a better life for themselves?
Schools have always been like places where young people should get a quality, right, education, right? And I feel like not many of us got that. The system failed many of us, just passing us through school, through grade, just to get us out of the classroom. I feel that there was a lack of people that cared for us, brown and black, young men and women.
So when I grew up in this community, there was not a lot of coordinated supports. I cannot remember an institution that dedicated itself to providing support to community members on any of the issues that our community deals with every day. What the development of the 2005 Quality of Life Plan brought was, number one, identifying the needs that this community had based on what the community was going through. And it allowed the community with partners and community voice to build an infrastructure that allowed this community to address some of the issues that the families were facing.
I kept hearing about this kind of like mythical like meeting that was happening that was pulling together nonprofits and schools and colleges and families, opening up conversations not just about the academic thing, the structures that we needed in schools, but also what was happening in the rest of students' lives. And we were able to kind of look back at the data. There was something that was really interesting that popped out. The time period before 2014, the college enrollment rate for students in Little Village kind of hovered around the mid-40%. And then something really interesting started to happen in 2014 when the rate was 45% of CPS students that lived in Little Village immediately enrolled in college. And then 3 years later, it jumped 64%, which is growth that you typically do not see naturally happen. We've really improved access to college in Chicago public schools, but that kind of meteoric kind of rise is something that we were not seeing in other community areas across Chicago.
So in the last 20 years or so, we've gone through three quality of life plans. And what that's really about is making sure that our community members who we want to impact move the goalposts, move the needle on their levels of success, they've got to be there at the table. Because if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. And in the city of Chicago, we know that organizing works.
We know there's data that proves that positive transition from 8th to 9th grade dictates a trajectory for their opportunity to even consider higher education.
So when it comes to like friends that I knew who were drawn to gang violence, I feel it's often because they didn't have the opportunity to feel safe enough to act like a child and let that part of themselves come out in a good way. It's easy to judge someone for the mistakes they do, but it's a lot more difficult to take time to think about where they're coming from, what they go home to. I'm really grateful for Enlace because it creates a space for these people to feel safe and to explore that inner child and let that inner child develop in a safe environment.
My mom being a single mom, it was very difficult. And as much as she tried to be present, she couldn't always be present. And so it took a village to really like uplift us and talk to us and ask her, like, what were our plans for the future? And thinking about what we wanted to pursue and whether that was college or whether that was just the art, they really like led me and supported me in making that decision.
I think the transformation in the community has vastly improved. When I started with Enlace and all these programs, I think things were kind of just kind of initiating and starting. But now throughout the years and kind of seeing all the different organizations that are involved and are being created and kind of providing different resources for the community of Little Village, right? Whether it's within education, whether it's within health, immigration resources, kind of provide as much support for everyone in the community.
We have been following Little Village partly through the work that we've been doing with Communities Partnering for Peace. And two organizations in Little Village, New Life Centers and Enlace, have been part of that coalition. And over the years that they've started working together, we've seen a 68% reduction of shootings, both non-fatal and fatal, a 70% reduction in homicide since the pandemic peak.
That's because we've come together and created a network of violence prevention that's proving to work. We've invested in organizations like New Life, Beyond the Ball, the Chicago Youth Boxing Club, and a number of others that have grown over the years that are now a part of the fabric of networks that wrap around our families, our young people, our adults who are now successful. They're thriving here in our community.
Sport is the one thing that brings a lot of kids together. It doesn't bring any problems or anything, because I know a lot of these kids, sport is their way out. And I know that for a fact because it was for me. Soccer was sport for me that will keep me out of trouble, that will keep me out of the streets and everything like that.
Our vision is to see more community centers, to see more community wellness being prioritized, to remove the stigma of mental health and have everybody be as healthy as they are physically, mentally, so that they can address the challenges that come no matter where you live.
We're in a better, healthier place. Not perfect as a city. We still got a lot of work to do. But man, I think we've come so much, so far that we can't stop now.
So I'm going to introduce our panel and then provide a little bit of context, and we're going to go straight to the questions. Ana Herrera, right next to me, is a Doctor of Social Work candidate at Tulane University and a licensed clinical social worker. She holds a Master of Arts in School Counseling from Concordia University in Chicago and a Master's in Social Work from the University of Illinois, Chicago, and is currently pursuing her DSW with a focus on college enrollment and persistence of Black and Latino males. She has been a practicing social worker and school counselor for the last 20 years and is a founding educator at Social Justice High School. She's a product of Little Village and a proud first generation college graduate and daughter of immigrants. Benjamin, or Benny as we call him, Benny Estrada, is the Senior Director of Street Outreach at New Life Centers of Chicagoland. For the past 27 years, he has dedicated his life to serving the community through a combination of street outreach, mentorship, and sports-based youth development. Rooted deeply in that community he serves, Benny has built trusted relationships with families, community partners, and local leaders. His work blends healing and opportunity as he uses sports to create safe spaces, strengthen community pride, and open doors for youth. Known for his commitment to collaboration and consistent presence on the ground, Benny continues to help shape Little Village as a place where young people can grow, belong, and thrive. U.S. Representative Jesus Chuy Garcia proudly represents the 4th Congressional District of Illinois. Throughout his career, Congressman Garcia has been a progressive voice fighting to improve the lives of his working class neighbors, many of whom are immigrants like him. Congressman Garcia was born in Los Pinos, a small village in the Mexican state of Durango. In 1965, Congressman Garcia and his family immigrated to the United States with permanent resident status. Today, he is with us to remember his days as the founding executive director of Enlace Chicago. But prior to his election to Congress in November of 2018, Congressman Garcia was a member of the Cook County Board of Commissioners, a state senator of Illinois' 1st District, and the alderman of the 22nd Ward. Please welcome our panelists for today. So as you have seen on the video and in the images that are going to be rolling out while we have this conversation, we have gone through three quality of life plans in Little Village. The first one published in 2005, second one in 2013, and the third one that we completed in 2024 and also was published last year. The three plans had eight areas of focus, and today we're going to concentrate on conversation in education and violence prevention, and we are going to be looking at the indicators and having a conversation about what happened during those 20 years on the ground. I want to recognize the role that all of the organizations represented today have had in making this plan a success. As you know, in Little Village, we have organized ourselves for many years in collaboratives. So you're going to hear a little bit about the work of those collaboratives, like the Little Village Education Collaborative, the Little Village Violence Prevention Collaborative, which is, by the way, longest standing in the city, the Community Health Collaborative that is called PAES because of the cinema, the words in Spanish. And also, we, of course, want to say that there have been many initiatives on the ground during these years that have supported the implementation of those plans. So we have to thank the MacArthur Foundation and LISC for managing that first round of the quality of life plan that was created in 2005. We have Terry Blackwell, our program officer from Little Village, in the audience. And we are also thanking Rosa Ortiz and our own Dosha Buffington, who collaborated with the development of the second and third quality of life plans. And of course, I also have to mention the investment and the support of the McCormick Foundation, who started supporting the plans in the second, so 2013, and of course the 2024. In 2011, the McCormick Foundation started making a significant contribution on the ground that has continuously grown. So now we fund specifically education, we fund economic development, and violence prevention. Those are the alignments that we have with the Little Village Quality of Life Plan of 2024. Currently, the McCormick Foundation has about $20 million in active grants in the Little Village community. And I also want to say the foundation's commitment to the quality of life plan is basically a commitment to the community's own vision for development. And I am so proud of that. I'm so proud that we have most of the organizations doing work on the ground represented here today. So I'm going to start with asking Chuy, what prompted Enlace's participation in the New Communities Program, and what was the program about, and what role did it play in neighborhood development?
The New Communities Initiative, thank you to MacArthur and Lisk, other partners as well, provided an unprecedented opportunity for Little Village to avail itself of resources and attention and to get on the map in the city. It was a 10-year initiative. There was going to be serious investment made in the programming. It was to be community controlled and rooted in community. It offered technical assistance and expertise. It was a really wonderful opportunity that came just a few years after Little Village lived the fight for the Little Village Lawndale High School, which was a transformational period and experience for residents in Little Village and North Lawndale that I think caught the city's attention, put us on the map, and that said, we refuse to be ignored. You can't take money promised for our school and go build schools in nicer communities and ignore ours. And it's what prompted the 19-day hunger strike that really made us think hard about what kind of a community we wanted. It wasn't just about a new building, state-of-the-art building in Little Village. It was to be transformational, and it really helped us get to core questions about violence, about how children excel, about low-income parents, about low educational attainment, and what the future of the community should be. So we saw the opportunity. We went after it thanks to the input of over 150 individuals who were planning at that time, beginning to plan the future of the Little Village Lawndale High School right at the humble Enlace office at 28 and Harding, across the street from the edifice that's there today. So it was a wonderful opportunity. We availed ourselves of it, and we learned what collaboration was, what getting stakeholders to the table was, and most importantly, that when local leadership speaks, you follow. Whether you had other intentions about what you thought you wanted to do. And by the way, I was hired as Enlace's first executive director to redevelop a site at 26 and Costner, which still hasn't been redeveloped. But we have a new school, we have some green space there, and it's still a work in progress. So things changed dramatically from when the board first hired me as the first executive director.
Thank you, Congressman. And now the first question for Anna. As you heard in the introduction, Anna is a founding educator at the Social Justice High School, and I think the longer serving counselor also in the high school. Isn't that correct? Yes. So, Anna, what are the most critical indicators to track when assessing educational outcomes in a neighborhood?
Well, good morning, everyone. Some of the big indicators are engaging our students early. So in the video, one of the speakers talks about the 8th to 9th grade transition. And so freshman connection is one of the first indicators that we follow. Seeing how many of our kids come to freshman connection are with us through that program. Then we have freshman on track, sophomore on track, grade point average, early college opportunities, CLBI literacy, advanced placement, attendance, of course, because they need to be there so that they can get all of this. And then when it comes to later on is with all of our partnerships, and we'll talk about that a little bit more, is college exposure to trades, careers, then the college applications, financial aid applications, scholarships, enrollments, registration, and orientation, because I need to make sure that they go to orientation. Sometimes we need to figure out transportation for them, and then make sure that they go back sophomore year. So the persistence rates, all of this is data that we follow, and throughout the years we've gotten stronger. So definitely that jump in 2014 is a big thing. So all of this, some of the things that we follow, sometimes they'll come back and let me know when they had their first baby and when they signed their first mortgage, and that's awesome.
That sounds awesome. Just to follow up a little bit on that question, when you see those numbers that Don from 2 and Through was talking about in the video, like that jump from like about 50 to 84% graduation rate 20 years forward, does it surprise you too?
I wish they were higher. But they are great numbers. I think that what we've been doing on the campus and with our counterparts in Farragut, it's showing that we're doing, and change is hard. And having that change in the community and having the parents and the way our community has changed in the last 20 years is, it's something that it's going to keep growing. So it's a good, do you want me to get into this one for real?
That's okay. We will come back to that.
We'll come back.
Yes, but for Benny now, what indicators matter most when evaluating public safety outcomes in the neighborhood?
I kind of look at it as like three things, like the data, which I think, there's a lot of people in this room that love to talk about data, whether it's the homicides and, violent incidents and things of that nature. So I think there's that. Obviously, we use the citywide dashboard a lot, which I think has been a huge for the city of Chicago, because it doesn't just track the city, but we can go into more details in terms of communities and see what the neighborhood looks like at a very kind of like hyper-local lens. I also think about, the structures in our neighborhood. Me growing up as a kid in the neighborhood, besides the Boys Club, I couldn't think of a lot of any other programs that I can kind of go to as a teenager. But as I look at the neighborhood now, you see the Enlaces, the Hope Cultures, shout out to Beyond the Ball, people like that who are really, really super hyper local, who give, access for, young people to be at somewhere and be safe, I think is also an indicator. And then the last one I think is relationships, our kids out. Are they in the blocks in the neighborhood? Are they running around? Are they playing? And in the blocks where things are hot, what does that look like for a community, Are there people out? Are we engaging them as, street outreach? I think all those things, are stuff that we look at and say, is the neighborhood safe?
Yeah. Benny, and also I people have been talking about so much about, of course, the decreasing some violence indicators at the city overall, but particularly in Little Village is being extremely high. The difference between last year and this year, you can see that on the presentation as well. Are you surprised? Same question that I asked Anna.
To be honest with you, I'm not surprised. I think because those of us who work in the violence intervention field have been very, very intentional on being inclusive of the participants that we work with. And I didn't get to say this earlier, but like the peacekeepers that are in our neighborhood right now, they play a huge role in what we do, because they're, you know, they're on the ground right next to us. They have sometimes relationships that we don't. And a lot of times they're going to stop stuff before we can, to be honest with you. So, you know, I didn't get a chance, but yeah, shout out to all the guys that's helping us out in the neighborhood. We can't do it alone.
Thank you. Thank you, Benny. So, Chuy, back in August of 2005, during my interview, he hired me. You told me you didn't think the Little Village Community Development Corporation, that was a mouthful, so now Enlace Chicago, would get involved in education. Yet, education became the organization's largest area of work. What drove that shift?
I didn't think we wanted to get too much into education, because people in the room know that the toughest politics in Chicago is public school politics, okay? Dealing with parents and teachers and administrators and bureaucrats and the people that are hired, that's tough stuff. I thought local school councils should deal with that. We should work perhaps to work with local school councils. But again, it was the process of people envisioning what they wanted the neighborhood to be like in 10 years, in 20 years, that drove the identification of all the areas that have received the emphasis and attention and investment and resources in. And that's why people are staying in Little Village. I met my wife at Tolman Library. We've been married for 48 years, 7 grandkids. It's our community of choice, and we see the neighborhood improving. I am so proud of the way the community has responded in protecting and defending our community, especially this year. I've seen the organizations see each other as allies instead of competitors competing for measly funds, but rather asking, how can we grow the pie? How can we approach philanthropy? How can we approach investors? And that's what's made it transformational. So it wasn't about what does the executive director want to think, but what do the parents want? What the students want? What the teachers say we need to do? And of course, how do we work together to address the so-called intractable issues and challenges that communities face, like violence on the street? It's through youth investment, it's through relationships, and it's through a real analysis of what brings fundamental change, and it's essentially going back always to good, healthy families.
And that's a perfect segue for the second question for you, Anna. Mm-hmm. What role have community organizations, faith-based groups, neighborhood tables such as the Little Village Education Collaborative, and others played in supporting the schools in the neighborhood?
It's a relationship. Everybody coming to the table and being at the table. I think without Enlace's support, it would have been extra hard for us to do all the work that we're doing with our students. Without Bottom Line or Gear Up, Upward Bound, 1 Million Degrees, 1 Goal. I mean, the list goes on and on. Obviously, New Life now, Youth Guidance. The goal for us has been always to approach the student in a holistic manner. And so having all these folks at the table really helped to get to that point. Meeting folks from city colleges and from National Lewis as a young counselor was pivotal in building that connections, so that I know when I was handing off my students or I was sending students to their schools that there would be somebody there that would take care of them like we took care of them. Same thing when we work with Bottom Line and Gear Up, Upward Bound. We're definitely going to shout out Upward Bound because they're still with us after like these many years. One of my babies is their director, so I'm very proud of that. And so that just keeps growing and growing, and they really help expose our students to the post-secondary opportunities that we as a school are not able to because of, you know, what was said earlier. And that just brings it even better because it's like they've gone to California, they've gone to New York, they've gone everywhere because they're able to see themselves at these other schools. And so it's not just a pipe dream. It's not something they just make up. It's not just something that we're saying because obviously we're old, so we don't know anything. But those are some of the roles. Definitely within just these last couple of years, our partnership with New Life has grown even more, getting support for families, getting the word out of where they can find some different resources. Everybody saw the news and has heard, especially in these last couple of months, but we've been really working together to make sure that we keep our community safe as possible, our students, try and get our students back in the school, letting them know that that is a safe place for them.
Thank you so much. Benny, kind of like a similar question for you. How do neighborhood organizations collaborate around violence prevention? And how does that collaboration change community responses to violence?
Man, that's a good question. I would say, you know, 20 years ago, I could name maybe five people in total that probably did kind of that CV outreach, the CVI street outreach work. And to see how far we come, man, is like, it's incredible, to be honest with you. You know, man, I can't even describe it. I think even now we've got young people that, you know, myself and George and guys like Rudy Sosa, you know, Rick Hernandez, you know, guys like that, that mentored young people in the neighborhood. Now they have an opportunity to do this work. Super, super exciting. But Clay, rephrase that question for me again.
How do neighborhood organizations collaborate around violence prevention, and how does that collaboration change community responses to violence?
Got you. I would just say, you know, citywide, you know, the advent of, you know, things like CP4P, which, you know, started bringing all of us together to kind of speak the same language. I think that's really, really pushed us to start talking really the same language and kind of having the same goals across the city. I look at things like the, you know, Metropolitan Peace Academy that are bringing us all together now to do training. And we're not getting training just from somebody that, you know, has a master in some class. We're really people that are, have lived experiences, have the experience of working in our neighborhood and are willing to give that back. And we have a bunch of those now at the MPA. And then I think just kind of neighborhood-wise, I kind of like what Chewy talked about. I think we were sometimes in a space where we were kind of bumping heads with each other. And I think for a lot of us, it's we can't expect, you know, the guys in the streets to create peace if we're not doing it amongst ourselves as agencies. And so we really had to kind of take a step back and do some hard kind of reflection of our own to say, like, where are we at in the process of peace ourselves? And because we're challenging people in the neighborhood to kind of get together and create peace, and we're beefing with the enlaces or the hope culture that think in that neighborhood. I think we've done a tremendous amount of work to strengthen our relationships. And so now, I mean, I can't get hope culture out of my office sometimes. we're always pulling up on Lasse and doing things with each other. I think we've been super intentional of having, you know, community see us together. And you know, to be honest with you, like, be the messengers. You know, we have to be the message. We can't just talk, but we got to live it. So, yeah.
What does leadership in Little Village, this is for Chewy, what does leadership in Little Village look like today compared to 20 or 30 years ago?
Groups in the community, nonprofits, churches, other players, think big. They think bold, and the thrust is transformational. That wasn't the case more than 20 years ago. So the community believes in itself. The community understands and practices collaboration, and there is a great spirit of solidarity among the leaders of various organizations, because there's a recognition that together we can overcome the greatest obstacles that we face, in my opinion.
Thank you. Anna, how can youth and new residents shape the next chapter of Little Village story?
Taking what Chuy just said to heart, coming back, telling your story, being in the community, building up the community. For us at Social Justice, we take the hunger strike, how our school building came to be, very seriously. That's one of the first things our students learn, is how we got to where we got, how we got our beautiful building, and how we can make changes. One voice unified with another voice and another, sparking that spirit is how we get what we need to do. Need to do for ourselves, for our families, and having them be proud of that, letting them know that they have the power. So letting our families know as they're coming into the community that they're not only coming into like just another block and another house, but it's a home, it's a family, that they're going to find support at the church, at Enlace and Harding, at the Boys and Girls Club, with New Life, at the school. We're all working together to make it a better life for everyone. I think that would be it.
Thank you.
It's a start.
Benny, looking 10 or 20 years ahead, how do you envision the neighborhood evolving?
I don't think like showing somebody a chart and saying crime goes down, you know, I don't think that necessarily, you know, like it comforts, you know, some people in the neighborhood, man. I think if we continue to just, you know, develop and keep developing our partnerships in the neighborhood, you know, between not-for-profits, churches, educators, things of that nature, I think if we continue to invest in our young people, you know, giving them opportunities, and we continue to provide, you know, programs that allow them to flourish and grow, I see our neighborhood just becoming way, 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 way more safer, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Thank you. And to just wrap things up here with the panel, I just wanted to express my sincere gratitude. I don't know if I should say, you know, to someone above, I'm not sure about that, or to what exactly, but I've been extremely, extremely fortunate to first arrive in Little Village. Sometimes I say the Chicago sagos, right? That's nobody that nobody sent, basically, right? I was coming back to from the international development field, working in Peru, and then, you know, to interview me, and I got my first opportunity to work in a nonprofit field in Chicago for and Enlace, particularly for 17 years. And then I was blessed again, and I was given the opportunity to work at the McCormick Foundation, focusing on putting the resources in the community that I love. So I'm extremely grateful for that opportunity and extremely grateful for the friends and partners and colleagues that I've made throughout the years. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Katia. We intentionally wanted to keep some time so we can keep the discussion going with all of you in the room. So we've got exactly 15 more minutes. I'm, like I said, trying to keep it on time. So please, if you have questions, I have a couple of them. I'm going to come out and around. Please raise your hand and think of a question if you don't have one now. I have a couple of others. I know the alderman has one. So I'm going to start over. Is on. Okay. Please introduce yourself, sir.
Sure. Mike Rodriguez, J-Rock's brother. I have two questions. The first is for Chuy, and in great fashion of an elected official, I will add some context here. I think I personally have been blessed, and our neighborhood has been blessed to have you as our leader for all these years.
I guess this is the farewell tour, right? It begins here.
Either that or it's going to
You just figured that out, huh?
It's going to hit Chewy up for a loan right now?
We don't do loans. We do grants, Benny. You know how it is. You just call it a loan. You know, at my table here, it's no coincidence that I'm sitting with, you know, my chief of staff, Elian Baena, who's an elected police council, district counselor. We have the youngest Democrat ever elected in the state of Illinois, State Rep. Edgar Gonzalez, Jr. And the fiercest person that I've ever met, who's also an elected official, Selena Villanueva, our state senator. And it's no coincidence that the three of us, four of us, got to our positions basically out of the mentorship, support, and thrust of the work that Chewy's done throughout his career. And all of us, all four of us at this table, raised in Little Village, right? Right across the street from Pachowski Park, right by the Arch, and both of us in a bunch of different places in the neighborhood. And I can't help but think about the number of elected judges we have now that are Latino and are plaintiff, not just male, peo, and stale, which is what we've had for years in the judiciary, but we now have a significant number of judges who are now very reflective of our community. We also have a number of elected officials throughout the region that are more progressive, that are younger, that are more female, right? And I can't help but think that that starts back in 1983 with the founding of the 22nd Ward IPO. It definitely starts before that. But I think about the tapestry that we've created here in the Little Village community. Part of that is electoral. So I was wondering if you could speak to the importance of that kind of electoral ring of what's happened over here in the years. And my second question, and I'll keep this one brief, is for Katia. We come back here in 20 years. What are things going to look like? What is that data going to look like? And what do you think about the neighborhood as it looks like in 20 years? Thank you.
Maybe in 20 years we'll have this program in Little Village. How about that?
Well, I'm trying not to be political because I've been political forever. And I've crossed the line. I've blurred the line between nonprofit and philanthropy and politics. Totally guilty of that. I think the most important thing, one of the most important things that has come out of, emerged from Little Village is leadership. And principled leadership to stand against ideas and forces that seek to pit us against each other. And I think that that leadership, when nurtured, it grows and it shines. And I hope that that's what the contribution has been without getting to political, but principled leadership is so important in our city, in the country, of course, as well, especially in these most challenging times. But there's one thing that's been left unsaid that I got to say it because it's impossible for me not to think about it, that when I convinced Harold Washington to build the arch at 26th and Albany. Most of the criticism at me, because I was the alderman then, 28 years old, was that it was a waste of money because we could be feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, no, it's for commercial revitalization. If we don't use it, then it doesn't, you know, it'll go elsewhere. I was quickly redeemed by that when most of the nonprofits began putting it as their logo or putting it on their newsletters, et cetera. So I'm very happy. And two, because of political involvement, I cut the deal with John Stroger. Andrea Munoz is my witness when I was a state senator to build, to renovate the clinic at 24th and Pulaski, which you may not know about as well. And the Little Village Lawndale High School, of course, just will live on as just a special transformational experience. It was a beautiful, organic fight. We learned so much from it. Tremendous courage and sacrifice and ganas to prevail, and we did. Remember, we made the mayor, the most powerful mayor in recent history. We made Paul Vallis. We made others have to build it because our community wouldn't take no. The courage and the vision of the hunger strikers and everyone else who came together to really envision what we were fighting for. It was much more than a building. It was for justice.
Does anyone else want to take any of that, or do we have any other questions out here? Okay.
He's like, she talked too much already. So 20 years from now, it's interesting because there's many of us in this room that were together 20 years ago. Would you mind raising your hand if you were around 20 years ago doing the work? There's some. So in 20 years, you kind of expect to, you know, see a lot of, like, white heads, right, in the room we get together. But in terms of development, it's so interesting because I've talked to Mike about this. That's probably why he threw the question at me, that seeing the development of the three plans has been the most interesting thing. So when you see the 2005 plan, and you can definitely go and see it, it's on Enlace's website. I think you can open it there, that the 2005, the 2013, now the 2024, more modern, has the, what do you call it? QR code. Thank you. So anyhow, so when you look at the 2005 goals and even strategies, they're going to the basic. Because during those days, if you were an adult looking for ESL in Little Village, even English as a second language, or computer lessons, or this or that, you couldn't find it. Or if you were a parent that needed for your kids to be in after school programs, or they needed tutoring or help with their homework, or the parents are monolingual Spanish only, there wasn't that. So the plan was a reflection of that, right? It had all of that. We need, you know, adult education. We need programs for the students. We need art. We need, you know, everything that wasn't there. When you look at the 2013, you look at transition. You see transition. First of all, now you have 600 people instead of 150 participating, and you have 80 organizations instead of 30. So the community was getting richer, right? And you see the goals talking about post-secondary goals, graduation rates. That's why, you know, the kind of like mystical meetings that Dominique was talking about in the video, right? That's what that was about. We actually had 65 people in the education committee for that second quality of life plan, the 2013. So that's why the Education Collaborative was formed. Now, in that, you see, you know, those goals and strategies for more collaboration, for getting together counselors from the high schools and the higher education institutions, etc. Now go and read the 2024 plan. Now people are thinking about economic mobility. Families are thinking about the next step of wealth building, investment. So you see how it transforms and it moves from basic needs to that. So when you look at the 2024 plan, hopefully, when you see those goals achieved, that's going to be Little Village in 20 years.
Anyone else want to add that? me 1 second. And if you could, please introduce yourself.
Sure. Hi, my name is Noah Pickens. I'm the executive director for the Chicago Youth Boxing Club in Little Village. So my question is around coalition building. And I know, Benny, you do a lot of this, especially with basketball and street outreach. So I'm curious to know, like, what does it look like moving forward? Like, what are the kind of, like, beyond the boundaries of, like, coalition building? What does that look like as you move forward? Because I know that has a huge impact on the work of CVI. So, yeah, I just want to hear from you all, like, what that could look like.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, I look at, you know, Chewy brought it up earlier, like CPS and, you know, how do we, you know, how do we support while we're still doing, like, the street outreach, like, at night, if you will. I think, you know, there's not enough time in the day. That's what I feel like more than anything, right? Because I think we're always asked to step into spaces or be places sometimes in the morning. But I think one is definitely using your boxing club. For sure, Noah. You know, shout out Noah. We were actually in partnership through funding to be able to use the gym at night, and unfortunately, this is a shameless slug. Unfortunately, that funding went away. So we're still working on that. But I think as we continue to build relationships in the neighborhood, I don't know. I look at a group like Hope Culture, who's new to the work that, you know, in the neighborhood. They're not new to the neighborhood, but they're new to the work. And I think we've been very intentional of bringing them into our spaces, building relationship with them, even sometimes them willing to say, like, hey, I need advice in this area. And also them being able to give us sound advice, to be honest with you. And, you know, I just think just being open to people who want to come into the neighborhood to the work, do the work, people that are in the neighborhood and thinking about starting up their not-for-profits and saying, like, you know, like, how do I start? I think I look at, to be honest with you, I look at Matt as one of those guys, and I don't say that just because he's my boss. I see Matt, you know, in a lot of ways, like, people are reaching out to asking him, like, hey, Matt, like, on an executive director level, what does that look like? And I think he embodies that, you know. He's the one that's willing to step out, to give the advice, to receive the advice sometimes, and do it in a very humble way. And I think if we continue to operate that way, I hope that we can help, you know, those who are looking outside and saying, like, how do I get involved? Yeah.
We've got just a couple minutes. We had a quick one, if you don't mind.
Quick one. Aaron Rivas, director for the SC2 initiative in Little Village. Two things. First, thank you guys for not giving up. Thank you. Thank you guys. Like Chewy says, it's real easy, right? Everybody hated you because of the arc, and now everybody's using it. It's like, hey, come on. So it's real easy to kind of like talk down on thoughts and plans and things of that nature when you're the visionary. When I first started at New Life in 2017, my journey as an adult was to go back to school I went to Daly College to get my GED, and I remember how having a support system was the key to my success, right? Somebody connected me to an organization that I got the lean card for the first time in my life. I didn't know how to do that. I found out that there was people that helping with your utility bills and your rental assistance and things of that nature. Without those programs, I wouldn't have been able to continue my education. So my question to you guys, in 20 years, can we say, hey man, this person graduated from Little Village Community College?
I want to say yes.
Double yes.
Amend the quality of life plan.
I asked to keep it quick. That was a good, that was easier, right? Thank you. Thank you for that. I had one more, since that was so quick. We have 30 more seconds. One thing, those numbers are amazing. One thing I notice is the population declines. Is that a positive? I wonder. Do we see our young people sticking around? What does that look like in 20 years? Is that with the graduation? Is that a sign of upward mobility? Is that a I know there are a number of factors to demographics, but what do you see from that? And when these folks are graduating, you see they're getting their mortgages, you see they're building their families. Are they going to continue to do that in this neighborhood?
I think that's the affordability agenda question. There's a lot of talk about affordability. Politicians are talking about it all over the place and trying to get the upper edge. I think it will depend on our ability as a country, and certainly as it relates to the state and the city, to build large-scale, affordable housing of all types. It will also entail raising wages for workers. It will entail making daycare affordable, especially given that almost all women work in that sector. That is such an exploitative situation in our day. And of course, those things will determine if we're able to stay in those communities because we're improving them and providing the vital resources like childcare and good schools and safer neighborhoods as a result of that. And of course, to ensure that we're not displaced. One of my greatest fears continues to be that displacement will continue to be a great pressure, especially on communities like North Lawndale and, of course, South Lawndale, a.k.a. Little Village. So affordability and fighting with policy agendas that our communities can unite around is what creates better relationships, more unity, and how we finally in the 21st century make greater headway in our poor state of race relations in Chicago.
Thank you for that. What I heard from all of this, I heard in the video, I heard from each one of you, is that there's a lot more to go, a lot more to come, right? And that's, as we say always here at City Club, there's more to come here. There's more work to be done. I have to let you all get back to work so that we can keep this train moving forward. Thank you. Katsi, do you want to close? You put so much into this. Is there anything that you missed that you'd like to just close with?
I think just kind of like going off on that last question, I definitely see the demographics moving a little bit, right? So we used to say a third of the population of Little Village is under 18 years of age. That has moved a little bit down, right? And definitely population numbers. I do believe, definitely some, a part of it's affordability, but I would say also upward mobility. So we do need to keep on working on encouraging families and our youth to stay, like Anna said, right? To either stay, in some cases, come back, right? Like, come back and enjoy and take advantage of the amazing things that our community has. And I think that's a message that would go across really well. Like I said, I am very fortunate to continue working in the community and blessed to be able to put the resources there. So Little Village is a wonderful community with open arms. And, I definitely hope that in the next 20 years, we can all work to make it what it always should be.
Great. If you don't live there, if you don't spend much time there, go visit. It's an awesome experience, and thanks to all of you. So thank you, Katia. Thank you, Anna. Thank you, Congressman. Thank you, Benny. You guys are amazing, all of you here. Thank you to the McCormick Foundation. There's so much more work to be done. There's so much to come here at City Club. Speaking of QR codes, we have them on your tables. Check it out. I won't list all our upcoming programs because there are too many. So check them out. We hope to see you all back here soon at City Club or in Little Village. Thanks again. Have a great day.